When I turned 60 about a year ago, my dear friend Sarah made me a beautiful quilt. It was an exquisite thing with multicolored panels on a cream background. The different squares were designs made of small dots and reminiscent of Australian Dreamtime sand paintings. It was clearly made with love, and I especially cherish it because of all the time and thought and energy that Sarah put into it. This year, Sarah turned 60, and though I knew I could not match her skill and talent, I was hoping I could give her a gift that would mean as much to her as her quilt meant to me. Unfortunately, unlike Sarah, my hobbies run to the self-indulgent. I spend obscene numbers of hours bicycling and cross-country skiing, hiking and running. My only interest I thought I could turn into a gift was my love of plants. Sarah and her husband bought a parcel of land west of Minocqua and built a rustic cabin on the edge of a bog. In April, as the snow melted and we were all imagining spring, I had an idea. I thought I could create a record of all the plants, a flora, of their property. My idea was to visit the property once a week and collect all plants that were flowering, bring them home, press them until dry, and then make a kind of scrapbook of all the plants I found. I told Sarah's husband of my idea, and he was enthusiastic and agreed to steer Sarah away from the cabin when I planned my visits. I started my weekly visits in mid-May. The cabin was nestled in a young forest dominated by red maple, paper birch, and popple. I kept an eye on the upland forest, but I focused most of my attention on the little bog just down the hill from the cabin. The bog turned out to be a gold mine of beauty. I spent quite a bit of time in bogs, and I had a good idea of what to expect to be blooming and the order in which they would likely appear through the season. It started auspiciously with bog laurel, my all-time favorite flower, ablaze throughout the bog. It has dime-sized, brilliant pink flowers with the stamens, that is the male parts of the flower, arched and tucked into the little pockets in the petals. When a bee visits the flower looking for pollen or nectar, the little spring-loaded stamens burst out of their corners and douse the bee with pollen. About the same time the bog laurel was flowering, I found the dainty pink bog rosemary in bloom. These were soon followed by the white flowers of Labrador tea. Soon there was a bit of cotton grass with their wispy plumes swaying over the bog. One of the aquatic bladderworts stuck up a single bright yellow bloom out of the bog pond. Soon I saw a few pitcher plant flowers towering over their prey-capturing pitchers. However, as stunning as all of these were, they were just the warm-up act for the orchids that were soon to arrive. First came the rose pogonia, each plant bearing one solitary pink blossom. About 2 weeks later, the grass pinks, another orchid, burst onto the bog, each plant standing tall with several blossoms. I roamed all over the mat, trying to drink in this riot of pink. The next week, the grass pinks were still going strong when I discovered the horned bladderworts. Now, I'm especially fond of bladderworts anyway, but the discovery of these especially gorgeous and fragrant bladderworts growing right out of the bog mat made me gasp. Each plant was tall, about 10 inches, with one or two vivid yellow blossoms. And there were hundreds of them, all in the wettest parts of the bog mat, sprouting out of a solid ground cover of sundews. I was spellbound. This was an exceptional bog. Or perhaps it wasn't so extraordinary. Perhaps it is only because I was determined to find everything flowering in this little corner of the North Woods, and I was just really paying attention. There is certainly something valuable in concentrating on one little part of the world and seeing how the year unfolds. I thought of Sarah on every visit to her bog, as I imagined she thought of me as she put together my quilt. I hope Sarah likes the book I put together, even half as much as I love my quilt, and as much as I love doing this for her. For Field Notes, this is Susan Knight of University of Wisconsin Trout Lake Station.